is Catherine, and you are now listening to Healing Hearts and Vision on Blog Talk Radio, Rebirth for Love, with your host, Judy Blackley. She is a native of Savannah, Georgia, began her support ministry at age 6 when a young lady in her dance class was stricken with meningitis and died quickly from the disease. Through the years, she has reached out to many more who experienced grief, needing her empathy and compassion. Volunteering with families of head trauma patients, she developed a better understanding of the grieving process. 10 years ago, she discovered herself supporting families of murdered individuals as well. Now a resident of NC, she works online as a chaplain to those who are hurting from all denominations and faiths. Chaplain Judy, grief counselor and online chaplain, guides people through the grieving process, whether it be those who have suffered a tragic and sudden loss, to those who watch their family or friend dwindle away. She brings to the table practical guidance, allowing the griever to acknowledge and feel all the emotions that are part of our human experience without guilt or judgment, while imparting to them pathways to recovery. With God's guidance and support, she is a heart mender. Welcome to Healing Hearts and Vision.
Father God, you and you alone are worthy of our praise. You are the creator and our protector. Thank you for all that you have done for us and continue to do. Please protect us as we move through our days. Heal us, Lord, and give us peace. Be with me today as I try and deliver encouragement with Catherine and Jackson as they deliver encouragement from the youth perspective. Bless us as we bless others. Thank you for Rebirth for Love and all of our artists and speakers and administrative staff. Amen. Let me introduce myself. My name is Judy. I'm the mother of one who God allowed to be born alive and mother of 13 who died before I knew them due to miscarriages. I have been mom to 15 foster kids, some of whom still call me mom. We have been married for 24 years and faced many of the marital crises that breaks apart marriages, yet we still give God the glory for 24 years of marriage, because only through him are we able to keep our marriage strong. I am a parent who had to face a situation where a nurse tried to allow our son to almost die in order to rescue him. I have experienced many years from an illness whose diagnosis escaped me until I was 48, when the doctor had the insight to do the proper medical testing, discovering that I had mixed connective tissue disorder. I have learned to put my trust in Jesus and lean not onto my own understanding. I don't have to understand, but I do have to trust. Today we will be discussing how to say goodbye in different ways. There are many ways to celebrate the life of the person who passed, and by special request, I'm going to share with you some ways that we celebrate the life as a part of mourning the death. Sometimes people will put trifold boards at the funeral home entrance, which is available for pictures to be posted. Along with the pictures, they're encouraged to write on an index card something about the picture. This will be used at another time. When the loved one is in the casket, allow the young people to place special pictures in the casket so people can remember the happy times. Have a nearby box to place special memories of the person written on colorful papers. in 1 to 2 weeks, have a special memory party. Serve favorite foods, play favorite games, have special movies playing. Look through a scrapbook of photos and write things under the photos. Once a year, have a heaven's birthday party. It's called that because that's when the person received their new birth. Allow people to bring presents and one designated to open them, and then take them to the hospital or a Ronald McDonald House in honor of your family member. Have a family picnic at a close-by area that the loved one liked, and bring picture books. If you have a child, balloon messages can be a wonderful thing. Tie a message to a balloon, let it go, and watch it fly up to heaven. Then ask God to be sure that they get the message. At the gravesite on the birthday of the loved one, read the messages that were in the special memory boxes. Donate clothes and personal effects to a cause in which you can meet some of the recipients. Ask young people, their friends, if they want to participate and maybe even bring some things of their own. Allow friends of the deceased to come by and visit. Still learn new things about your loved one. If your child is in college and it's feasible, set up a scholarship fund for what you would have spent. Allow friends left behind to be allowed to contribute. If the deceased was a child, read their favorite books to their classmates from time to time. Have the children make a book about their loved one. They can exchange books until all were read, and then they can take them to a nursing home, read the books, and give them to the residents. The adults can make a book for a young child so they can keep remembering their loved one while they're gone. If the loved one loved commemorative T-shirts, cut out the fronts and make a quilt where you can place where the people will see it. Encourage them to talk about their memories of that piece. Also, special memory pillows can be made to be given to siblings, grandparents, or teachers. Plant a bush or tree in a place where they will be loved and remembered, like a public park or church or synagogue. Instead of a funeral at a funeral home, have a meaningful moment. A meaningful moment is when friends and families gather at a place like a home, or a river dock, or a park. They bring music their loved one enjoyed, or a special poem, bring food that their loved one enjoyed, and the time that's allowed for those who want to share. I have attended a meaningful moment, and the difference was incredible. At a holiday, such as Thanksgiving or Christmas, send a card with a letter in it from the one who died, telling the recipient what they would have wanted to tell them if the loved one was still with us. I did that for a child whose sister died on Valentine's Day. We purchased a Valentine angel and tied a note to give her before the service. We signed it from her sister, apologizing that she had to leave her so early, but how good it was to be with Jesus and how special it was to see those streets of gold. In preparing for the show, I came across a different idea. Have a party before the person dies to celebrate their life. Have people bring special pictures and records of what is, make records of what is said, and then make a book of pictures from the party. Also, the person who was ill can write special letters to those who will be left behind. If the person who died left young siblings or children, try to keep some of the traditions they both enjoyed, like Christmas trees. Use it as a time to remember, to allow those left behind to remember goofy things, and how the tradition was started. Tony and Sherry, your son's namesake, is doing awesome, and every year when we decorate our Christmas tree, we think of you. If a young child dies, the day of the funeral, have an all-day play party. Let the children know that at one point in the day, they will go to a service in church where people will be sad, and that's okay. It's a time where parents and family will talk about missing their friend. That day, have a meal that was the favorite meal of their friend. Have children paint pictures of them early enough to be hung in the church dry. Talk about death on a level they can understand. Later, they can plant seedlings, which they can watch grow, and when they're big enough, plant them in places where they would like to see it get bigger. They might also plant a butterfly garden. If the loved one comes from a religion not prominent in America or not well known, have someone prepare an explanation that will be copied to give to people at the funeral to explain what some of the things that are happening mean. This way, those who are unfamiliar can also participate and will not offend those left behind. Services can come in all shapes and sizes. A clown who was part of a prominent circus had his casket pulled by horses as part of the grand entrance parade and sat next to his family as they celebrated one last circus together. That night, his friends from the circus with the immediate family buried the casket at a grave site near the circus so that each year his friends could come and visit him. One of the prominent jazz musicians in New Orleans had his casket taken from the dive where he played to the cemetery with all of his jazz friends from New Orleans walking behind and playing his favorite jazz tunes. His family was met at different places along the route. There are no rights and wrongs when it comes to funerals or life celebrations, to afterlife parties, or even before death parties. These are special times of memories and special people. I'd like to thank SB3, Live with Rebirth for Love, and Catherine and Jackson Cowsert, who will bring us a youth perspective, now an added feature each week. Together we can help all others learn to grieve and celebrate life and make death a little less painful. After this song, please welcome Catherine and Jackson, who will take the second segment of our show.
hard for a teen to cope with grief. The teen years are complicated enough under normal circumstances with our bodies changing, hormone changes to peer pressure, social expectations, and academic demands. It is hard being a teenager. Adding the death of a loved one can make a teen feel completely overwhelmed. We are no longer a child, but not yet an adult. Many parents and close friends may be tempted to treat teens as children. This is wrong. Teens will cope with grief better if they are acknowledged as someone old enough to grieve deeply. Teens need extra support and guidance on a constant basis to make it through this process. Don't put expectations on a teen that they should be strong for those around them or that they should be the one to take care of the family following a death. Don't tell a teen how to grieve. Instead, just listen to how they are grieving. Share with them what has helped you, and maybe it will help them. Let them know it is natural to feel sad, frustrated, or angry. Also, let them know that they shouldn't feel guilty if they sometimes feel happy, too. Just remember to always share your feelings. Don't hold them inside. Activities are a great way to help teens process their grief. Sometimes teens can't express their grief verbally. Activities help teens process their feelings, and it makes them take the time to think about what they are feeling and why. Some activities include writing in a journal, diary, or blog, writing a story, poem, or a song. Create a memory book of your loved one that died. Visit a hospital or nursing home. Sometimes outside help is needed for teens that are struggling to cope. Some signs that might indicate a teen could use some outside help to process their grief are isolation from friends and family, changes in behavior or appearance, changes in sleeping or eating patterns, lack of motivation, skipping school or dropping grades, sudden change in friends, overwhelming social, family, or academic pressure, depression or unusual levels of anxiety, talk of suicide or a fixation on death, constant feelings of anger or guilt, reckless sexual behavior and drug use. Please get help if you or someone should see any of these changes. I would like to turn the show over to my brother Jackson as he will discuss how teens help other teens, adults, and children that are grieving.
Thank you, Catherine. Let's talk about how teens can help others going through grief. Number one, listen and watch for opportunities to talk to the individual that is grieving. Don't force them to talk about their feelings, and they will feel comfortable with you and feel that you are willing to listen. Number two, spend time with those that are grieving and ask them to go to the mall, out to dinner, play sports, or just hang out. Having someone there helps to not focus so much about those that have passed away. It feels good not to be alone and to have someone there. Number three, make time to listen to those who want to talk and let them know that this is important. Number four, let the person react to the loss in his or her own way. Some people are quiet and others need to express their grief openly. If they are struggling with their grief, suggest that they talk to their pastor, friends, or grief counselor. Let them know that they are not alone and that they have loved ones and friends that care and want to help. Number five, reassure the grieving process is normal. Sadness and other feelings are normal. Time will help those feelings of sadness and grief. Number six, Volunteer your time to those who are grieving. You might offer to clean their house, babysit, walk the dog, call them, and just talk. It might not seem a lot to you, but it means the world to the individual going through this. My sister Catherine and I clean up my grandfather's house every Sunday after church. He greatly appreciates it, and it makes him feel not overwhelmed. My grandmother passed away 7 years ago, and this is our gift to him. Number 7. If you have pictures or videos, etc., make a copy and give it to them. They can make it a scrapbook or collage of their own. Number 8. Don't avoid talking about their loved one. If you have memories about them, always share it. Number 9. Encourage the individual to find a support group. I would like to turn the show over to my sister Catherine, as she will read 2 stories of how teens have dealt with the loss of a loved one.
That's how Riley introduces herself at a grief support group for teens. Tough words to say, but knowing she is with others who are coping with similar losses makes it just a bit easier. Riley and Travis, 2 blonde athletic kids just 22 months apart in age, looked like twins and played together as best friends. They shot hoops, went wakeboarding, and worked out together. Riley looked up to her big brother and followed in his footsteps. He was the most popular kid at school, she says. He was one of those kids who fit into every group. As a sophomore at Calvin Christian High School, Travis was called up to play varsity football one Friday night. He scored a dramatic game-winning touchdown. 4 nights later, he hung himself in his bedroom. Travis's family struggled with sorrow and disbelief. His mother, Julie, says medical professionals told her 2 severe concussions close together might have changed Travis's brain chemistry, leading him to an action he would not have contemplated otherwise. Riley's world was shaken to the core as a 14-year-old freshman. She suddenly went from being Travis's little sister to, "Are you the girl whose brother died?" The support she received at her school from her friends and from Travis's friends were amazing, says Riley, now 16 and a junior. Even so, it became hard to relate to her friends sometimes. They move on, and you know you don't, she says. They don't have to go home to parents who are crying, to a family of 3 that used to be 4. She found people who understood her pain through Starlight Ministries, a Christian grief support community. Every 2 weeks, she goes to a teen group. There she paints pictures, reads Bible verses, and writes in a journal. There is a room where she can break dishes or rip up phone books to get out her anger. Sometimes a discussion topic is raised and the teens share their thoughts on it. Riley often finds herself saying things she had never even said to herself before. You just say stuff you don't know what was bugging you, and when you do, you feel so much lighter, she says. When you go through grief, your heart actually feels heavy, and your stomach feels like there's a twister in it. With her friends at school, she doesn't talk about her grief, and that's fine with her. Sometimes those friends are my escape, she says. I have some friends that are so funny. When I hang out with them, it's like an escape, and I don't want to talk about it with them. Deciding when to talk about her sorrow is a choice she wants to make. It's painful when people ask her about her brother at inappropriate times, particularly in front of others. If it looks like I'm doing fine, please leave me alone. I don't feel like crying in front of people or before a math test, she says. What makes her feel better are signs that people care, such as notes and Bible verses left in her locker. Baked goods are always welcome, she says with a smile. And knowing others grieve for Travis helps too. What I think makes me feel people care is when I go to Travis's gravesite and there is a worn path, she says. People put rocks, seashells, and golf balls on it. There's a physical evidence that I'm not the only one thinking about him. I would like to read another story of how a teen dealt with grief. When I think of the horror movie, The Ring, I remember what one of my friends said, which explained why she's so afraid of the movie. It doesn't choose those who are young or old or sick or healthy. It just chooses randomly. This is how I think of cancer. It has no predetermined plan. It does not matter if you are old or young. I had the perfect life. It was a bubble that could not be pierced by unhappiness. No one died. No one was sick. We were all happy and loving life. Then I discovered my grandfather had cancer. No matter how much I told myself he could live, that he might not die, somehow I still felt as if it was a death sentence. He was so young. Only 63. He fought so hard. Whenever I feel my own life taking a turn for the worse, as if things will never get better, I remember how many years he lived fighting such a scary and difficult disease. When he died with a huge party going on around him, with all his friends and adult family, an Irish wake. They ate and drank and celebrated Grandpa's life. He died with dignity and honor, surrounded by loved ones. I honestly don't know how I coped. I never cried alone. I had the compassion of my friends and the support of my family and teachers. I just remembered my grandfather's wish that he should celebrate his life. That's how we came up with the idea of Hives for Lives, a business my sister and I started where all the profits go to the American Cancer Society, the ACS. We sell honey, honeycomb, beeswax candles, and lip balms, which all come from our beehives in Virginia. It started out small with just an idea. During our first year, we donated more than $2,000 to the ACS. The next year, a man who belonged to my grandparents' bee club willed his honey to us, and our little business grew. We sold at craft fairs, haunted houses, wine festivals, schools, and to anyone else who would buy. We had my uncle sell in California and my grandmother sell in Chicago. We have sold honey in 13 states, even in Puerto Rico. This year, we donated more than $10,000 to the ACS, and we are hoping to do more next year. Hopefully, our business will help find a cure or just improve someone's life with cancer. I feel like Hives for Lives is a way to honor my grandfather, honor his love, his life, and his strength. With Hives for Lives reminding me of my grandfather every day, I feel as if I can move on with life, that he will always be alive in my heart and memory. It made me capable of coping with his death, because I felt like I had truly honored his wish of celebrating his life. I have immortalized his spirit through the business and honor him every day. He always taught me to make the best of things. Well, Grandpa, that's what I'm doing for you. I hope he's smiling from heaven. I hope we have helped those that are grieving. We will now close the show with my brother Jackson playing The Vault.
Thank you.